Filmmaker Elam Stultfus joins me now. Now, many of us right now are on our typical morning commutes, you know, in a sea of traffic. So take us away from our morning commute to your commute here. Where are you right now? Tell us what you see and what you hear.
Well, I'm at a place called Deep Creek. And one of the things that makes Deep Creek unique is the huge stands of cypress knees. And when I say huge, I'm talking about 6 feet plus. Lines the banks of Deep Creek as it meanders on its lazy flow down into the St. John River.
What about wildlife? Have you seen any manatees or gators or snakes?
This morning, I did see a few ibises. Yesterday, had a pair of ospreys flying around me, so I think I was close to a nest. And then later on, a number of gators, some turtles. Joe Guthrie saw a manatee at the mouth of Deep Creek.
Joe Guthrie is your bear biologist on your trip, and I understand he's been tracking or was tracking a black bear trying to roam north, but got held up by Interstate 4. And who hasn't been held up on I-4? Photographer Carlton Ward Jr., your bear expert on the trip, Joe Guthrie, described tracking a black bear trying to roam north and got held up by Interstate 4. Was that bear able to get north, and is I-4 a big impediment to your vision of a contiguous wildlife corridor?
Well, Interstate 4 is certainly a hard barrier. It's more so as you go west and south between Orlando and Tampa. See, the road provides a barrier, but then the development adjacent to the road provides an even larger, less penetrable barrier. Interstate 4 here on the eastern side of the state, as it crosses the marshes and the areas of the upper and central St. John's River, road crossing natural habitats on both sides of the road. So in those locations, there's greater hope to have animals cross the road safely, and there's also the opportunity to install wildlife underpasses, as we experienced down on Interstate 75 closer to the Everglades.
Are there any such underpasses there now anywhere along I-4?
We're going to be meeting with Dan Smith from the University of Central Florida, who is a corridor expert, and they've been working with the Department of Transportation to develop plans for underpasses on Interstate 4 within the Volusia County corridor vision there.
Well, once you get Orlando sort of in the rearview mirror and you're heading on north toward Ocala, I imagine, and on up that way, it seems like it'll be a little easier as far as a wildlife corridor. Are there any other big impediments on the road up ahead?
We'll cross Interstate 10, but it'll be a similar situation to I-4 here east of Orlando, where there is some natural habitat on both sides of the road, but a need to provide underpasses for safe passage. But I want to talk a little bit more about Volusia County, because from what I understand, Volusia County was the first county in the entire country to do a land acquisition and conservation program by referendum and, you know, assessing a tax on themselves in order to protect conservation land. And 200,000 acres of Volusia County have been protected through this Volusia County Conservation Program. And that amounts to about one-third of their county by land area. And what I've also learned is that our expedition, as we travel the length of Volusia County from south to north, we're going to be the first people ever, from what I've been told, to walk the length of the county entirely on conservation land.
Well, Carlton, I know our listeners really appreciate what you are doing there. We love the glimpses of wild Florida that you offer us here each week, and our members who contribute really love the glimpse of wild Florida that you offer. So from all of us, thank you so much for what you do, and good luck.
Thanks so much.
Support for coverage of the Florida Wildlife Corridor Expedition comes from the Mosaic Company.